You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. An afternoon drive home like no other.
Carlos health. Level of concern.
Nick Cage since he's been 18 years old.
I don't. Around the horn?
I don't know. Play Nick.
You can never, ever ask me to stop drinking.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Irony is always a word that gets misused. It's a word that I'm not sure anybody actually knows how to define, myself included. Like, you know that Alanis Morissette song, Isn't It Ironic? Turns out nothing that was in that song, of all the lyrics, none of it was actually ironic. It just sounded great, and everything rhymed, so it worked. It was a number one hit. The reason I bring this up is Jonas Seager from The Athletic is in here. Now, I had a crazy day. I got here a little bit later than I usually would. You were already in the building. Jonas, you were here working away, writing something for The Athletic, I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff the O-Dog O'Neill, who gives you more of a hard time than I'm sure anybody else you have to deal with in your professional life, is not here right now. He's on his way. We'll find out what the explanation is. I'm sure he will have one. I'm sure it's reasonable, but he is not in here right now. How do you feel about this?
I'm tempted to talk about it. Or I'm kind of thinking maybe it just speaks for itself. You know, all those times when I would tell Jeff, you know, sometimes, you know, stuff happens. And sometimes the DVP is backed up and there's nothing you can do, or Waze takes me off in some crazy direction through, like, Scarborough. But now he kind of gets a taste of his own medicine. I'm sure he's listening. So, Jeff, if you're listening, I feel for you. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes you're late. It's okay.
Well, if he doesn't roll in here and blame Waze, I might kick him right out of the studio. I want him to step in and be like, it was a Waze issue. That stupid app has done it again. Because you were late two or three times over the past 3 or 4 years. And each time it was a Waze malfunction, right?
Like, they sent you in the wrong way. And it was partly like I would leave. I just give myself just enough time. So if one thing wrong happens, like if there's a backup on the highway or, I don't know, I'm late.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to change that approach and I said, you know what? I can't keep being late. It was a problem embarrassing at home. The girl did not appreciate it.
Because you were misrepresenting her.
She didn't think it was a good look for me.
Professionally. Well, I think that was smart of you to take her advice.
Yeah, so now... No, I'm not late.
Well, it was great to see you here earlier.
Wait, can I just ask you, what do you think is the most likely reason for him being late?
I would guess traffic. I mean, we goof on him a lot, but he finds a way to actually get here on time.
Every day.
Yeah, he's always here on time. So, like, he'll have something that is reasonable, and it happens. I mean, it's life. But I don't know. We'll find out when he comes in. We will interrogate him when he rolls in here. The Leafs are back home. They're in action tonight. Garrett Sparks is going to get the start. And were you down there at the skate today?
Yeah.
Did Babcock explain it appropriately enough to you?
No.
Because it felt kind of weird to me, the way he was just... It was a Belichickian type answer. Like, Sparks is going, stop asking me why. Because it doesn't make sense based on history. Freddie Anderson is healthy. They didn't play yesterday. They had a day off yesterday. They don't play again until Thursday. Why would the backup be going tonight?
Yeah, but, okay, so I'm of two minds. The first is, like, he hasn't said, like he did in past years, Anderson's going to play this many games, the backup's only going to play this many games. Like, every time you ask him, he would say this fall, we don't know what we're going to do. Like, we're going to kind of see how things go, and, like, which gave you the sense that they weren't going to do it the same way. Like, the backup wasn't just going to play 13 times. They only have 13 back-to-backs. The other thing is... that you're not totally right about, they just played four games on the road. That's, like, it was 4 and 6 nights. It wasn't easy. And, like, Anderson played well in Washington. Yes, they had a day off, but, like, it's like one day off after playing 4 and 6. And granted, Sparks started one of those games, but, like, this is smart. Like, this is how you should use a backup goalie. Because then Anderson gets, like, 5 days off.
Yeah, no, I don't have an issue with it in terms of the big picture, right? Like, the Leafs... In hockey, it is not like basketball in terms of being able to predict where you're going to be at the end of the season, where guys take nights off and you are selective with minutes played because it's about a big picture. Golden State gets through the regular season based on obligation. They have to play those 82 games, but the real season begins in April. The Raptors have had the same mentality for the past couple of years, and I expect it to continue this year. The Leafs, because hockey is just much more difficult to predict, they're not going to play that role. You're not going to play with fire that way, mm-hmm. at least not publicly. But I think in the back room, they understand they got to make sure Freddie Anderson is healthy and at 100% and mentally prepared come game one of the playoffs, because they feel good about getting there, and they should. So I do think they need to scale his time back. I just think this is an interesting case study when it comes to Babcock, because I think his instincts are Freddie should be playing tonight.
Yes, and that's like,
what I'm saying.
And that's like the second part of this that was in my mind is like, is this part of Kyle Dubas being the GM now?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
And like the reason I think that is because you look throughout camp, anytime you ask Babcock about the goalies, like when it was McElhinney and Sparks competing, he made it really seem like it was like a competition. And maybe that's the way you need to do it publicly. But based on what happened, it wasn't. You know, the best goalie in camp, and like I don't know why you would read into camp in terms of making that decision. But the best goalie in camp probably wasn't Sparks. But like long-term big picture for the organization, it always made sense for him to be the backup. You know what I mean? Like, I guess you can't come out and say that. But even this morning, to your point, he could have said, you know, we just want to get Anderson a break, and like this is a long season and we have goals of playing deep into the year. But he just said he didn't want to talk about
it. He didn't want to get into it.
Which is weird.
It is. And I do think a part of that would be what's happening behind the scenes, an organizational, you know, philosophy that Babcock is going to buy into. And Babcock puts forth the front that he's, you know, set in his ways. But you don't coach in the league this long unless you adapt and you listen to other people and you take into consideration the counsel of other people. Mm-hmm. But this does kind of feel like an analytical move, so to speak, in terms of the big picture. Also, with Garrett Sparks, I mean, he's got to prove that he can play in the league. Like, yeah. This is a big game for him, and he's in a tough spot because they're coming off a road trip, very successful one. It's Monday night. The weather's ugly outside. There will be no energy in the building tonight. The Kings have been in town for a couple of days, and they got embarrassed by Ottawa on Saturday. So I expect the Kings to show up tonight. They've got their backup in. That may have factored into the decision as well. Let's go backup versus backup. Now, Jonathan Quick isn't available to him because he's injured, but Jack Campbell has played pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, he played really well in Montreal. But we'll see what Sparks has in store tonight. And you were just on the road trip, and they went 4-0, and they're 5-1 on the season. And it's been the most hyped season of my lifetime. And this is pretty much a textbook start. You know, this is what you needed. You needed to start with wins. You needed to make sure that the doubt crept out of the room or any anxiety whatsoever. And you've been around them a lot. I mean, I can only imagine the swagger they have right now. They must be feeling pretty good about themselves.
So one guy you can tell is who you think.
Matthews?
Yes.
Like, he feels like he's dominating the league because he is dominating the league.
Like, it's crazy. And it just feels like right now he's going to score every night. And it's not even like a crazy thing. Like, anytime he shoots the puck, it feels like it's going to go in. Like, now you start to think of, like, some of the stuff you thought he was potentially capable of. Like, you thought maybe, you know, he can score 50. You know, maybe he can compete for a heart. Now it's like it's starting to really kind of feel like it's trending that way. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
and this is without Nylander. Like, this is one thing, like, I don't think we've talked about enough, is, like, he's playing with a totally different line than basically his first 2 years in the league, where he played with Hyman and Nylander the whole time, mm-hmm. like, almost exclusively. And now he's got Marleau on his left, and Marleau hasn't scored yet. And then he's got Kapanen and Ennis, and, like, granted, Kapanen's look good, but, like, Nylander is, like...
Yeah, Nylander brings it to a different level. I think what's come out of this personally for me is long-term, I would have Kapanen stay on his line.
Interesting.
And if Nylander comes back, it's Marleau that moves down. I don't think Marleau has looked great. I don't think he's looked poor. Yeah. You know, I think he looks like what you would expect out of a guy who's 39 and can still skate pretty well. But he's in a similar category to Ron Hainsey. You know, a guy at that stage of his career, probably unfair to expect him to go up against the best defenseman in the league,
yeah.
the best players in the league, have every coach in the league zeroing in on your line. Now, no one's looking at Marleau and saying, we got to stop 12 first. It's obviously 34, but still, the ripple effect of the opposing team's defensive tactics are going to factor into the way he plays. So I think long-term, Marlowe moves down. I envision a line long-term of Kapanen and Matthews and Nylander. And I think the way that Babcock has spoken about Kapanen and how he'd like to see him play like Hyman, which I think really I'd like to see a fusion of both. I love Hyman's engine. I'd like to see Hyman have the same kind of skill set that Kapanen has, but that's not likely ever going to happen. But Kapanen, I think, has played really well, and he's taken advantage of the opportunity. I picture Kapanen, Matthews, Nylander long-term. But what Matthews is doing here is what Crosby's been doing for a long time, what McDavid's been doing the past couple of years. It really doesn't matter who he plays with.
Yeah,
you can plot anybody on his line, short of a 12th forward plug who can't keep up, but you put anybody of competence on his line, and they're going to perform, and they're going to put up numbers. And that is the true definition of a horse. Kopitar tonight. Kopitar's wingers have come, like he resuscitated Dustin Brown's career again last year. He's got Kovalchuk on his wing, and Kopitar just goes out there and does it. It doesn't really matter who plays with him. Barkov down in Florida's got some decent wingers, but he's that type of player. Matthews is on a different level than that in the way he's performing right now. I don't even think it matters who he plays with. But you got to think Nylander, like now today, the KHL stuff is starting to leak out. And I don't know whose camp is leaking that. I don't know where it came from. I guess there was a reporter over in Europe who mentioned that Bob Hartley's team owns his rights. If it's the Nylander group, that's a sign that they realize they are in big, big trouble. Because the Leafs are not going to flinch at a KHL threat. It's not going to happen. The O-Dog is in here. What happened?
There was a massive accident near my condo building. And I went on the Waze app.
Waze is personally responsible.
Yeah. The question is, like, I'm late. There's no excuse. It's like Waze, whatever. But I feel like I should be suspended for a day.
You do, huh? You feel that would be a reasonable penalty for this type of infraction?
I do. Like 1 day suspension.
Okay. When would you want to serve that suspension?
I'm thinking Friday. Do you not agree that's a 1 day suspension?
No, actually, here's what I
like
think.
If you're on SportsCenter and you're late,
No, I think it's the opposite. I think you have to work this weekend. I think we're going to set up a show. I'll talk to the suits here, and I want you in from 4 to 7 doing the pregame on the weekend. Or maybe you have to stick around for the pre and post.
No, but I think it's more reasonable, like, to suspend someone.
I think with everyone else in the world, that's reasonable. I think with you, it's the opposite. I think the penalty for you is you actually have to come in an extra day.
No, I think the penalty is a 1 day suspension.
I understand you think that, but I'm telling you,
Jonas, what do you think?
I think it's fair.
A 1 day suspension.
Yeah.
Jonas, stop it. You know that that's not a suspension for this guy.
What do you mean for this guy? You got to suspend people for wrongdoing. It's not my fault there was an accident.
It's like suspending.
It's not my fault that Waze took me down a road that I can't come back from. I feel bad. Jonas, you know what I mean.
Where did it take you?
Just out to the country, and then I just believed in it. Because of you.
Waze, I hear you, man. Well, why would you listen to his?
It's good. It's a good app.
It's a good app, but it just went wrong today, and I'm late for it. Like, Jonas, you have to support me. But I do believe you got to be on time, and if you're not, there's got to be a penalty, and I believe the penalty for this is a 1 day suspension.
No, I think it's the complete opposite, but we will put a poll question up on Twitter, at Overdrive1050. Should you be suspended for a day, or should a day be added
workload? Al, are you back there?
Yes, Al is there.
Fergie, can you hear this, Fergie? I think there's got to be a Department of Player Safety for Overdrive. And on the panel is Al, Fergie, Malls, and Jonas.
That's a four-man panel, though. You're going to get a split vote. You need...
Okay, you're on it, too.
You're going to put me on that? Oh, you're in trouble. If I'm the final vote, you're in
trouble. But
you've
got to go through the facts, though. You can't just say, oh, you don't want to...
Okay, we'll do this a little bit later. We'll make sure everybody is in the right frame of mind. And we'll put it to counsel.
It's a poll. I mean,
the Supreme Court of Overdrive.
It's a 1 day suspension, or what is
an added day?
Or, you know,
dude,
you stick around.
I can't come in here on the weekends.
Why not? Why not? That's the penalty, dude. You're late. That seems totally reasonable.
So I'm doing pregame with the Tatman?
Yes, we have the game on Thursday, the Pittsburgh game. You stick around for the pregame with
Tatman.
I'm
on the panel. I'm on the panel, Brian.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it. The Supreme Court of Overdrive will have to decide that.
You know what? I will do this. On a Saturday, I'll do the pregame with the Tatman and Gibby. If that's what the Supreme Court decides.
Isn't it like a two-hour pregame?
Saturdays are a long pregame. We'll figure something out. Okay?
It might not be a Saturday. Maybe a weekday.
Okay. We'll put it to the court. All right? Well, you will have your moment to explain. You can throw the Waze app right under the bus like Jonas always does. Or use it as an excuse like Jonas always does. And we'll see. I think you're going to get some pity from Jonas. I mean, Jonas can't vote against you.
I feel for you. I'm on your side.
Fergie's too nice of a guy. You got two votes for sure. It comes down to me, Mullen, and Al.
Fergie, you're on the board for the, what is it called? The board of what?
The Supreme Court of Overdrive.
Yeah. So it's like, there's two options.
Yeah.
A day suspension, which I think is the right move.
Okay. We'll get to this later in the hour. We'll post it on Twitter. We'll see what the people have to say about it. This is a democracy, after all.
Okay, so what are you going with, the Twitter poll?
No, we'll let the Supreme Court decide it, but we want to hear what the people have to say about it.
Okay, well, you guys can ask questions. Okay. You can.
All right, we'll figure it out.
I mean, this is a real court here. You can't just say, he's got to go in for a pregame.
Well, it's not a real court. It's a joke of a court. It's a radio court. It actually is the complete opposite of a real court. But I hear you. We will actually put our minds together.
You guys all can have two questions each and make a decision, form an opinion. You can throw it out on Twitter, and then we'll come up with something.
Okay.
But I do believe the right thing to do here is a one-day suspension.
All right.
It's like the kid who goes in the principal's office after he does something bad and says, you know what? I think the only way I'm going to learn my lesson is to get a day off tomorrow. Yeah,
you got to send me home.
Suspend me.
It would really suck, but I think you have to send me home and play Fortnite all day at home. I thought that was coming. You've been like addicted to Fortnite.
No.
I think that's in your future. You got kids of that age. Do your girls play video games at all?
No, major traffic jam. I helped an old lady fix her car. It was just...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more to this story.
Everything's coming out.
Yeah, everything is coming. Like,
good Samaritan.
Sorry, I'm a good person. I made things happen, and I'm 5 minutes late for work.
It happens. 12, but no one was counting. The Supreme Court of Overdrive.
How are you going to run this? I mean...
I don't know, man. We'll see. I guess Fergie technically has the most seniority. Fergie will have to decide.
Fergie, you got two questions. Everyone, or one question each.
One question.
Okay? One question each.
And maybe they have to be written down. They will be submitted to me. I am the Speaker of the House. Okay, Speaker of the Court. All right? Leafs Kings tonight, we're teeing that up. Drew Doughty making a bunch of noise. Lars Eller over the weekend making a lot of noise as well. We'll look back on the Leafs road trip, tee up the game tonight. MLB playoffs continuing. The Raptors are ready to rock Wednesday night at home against Cleveland. Jonas Siegel's in here from The Athletic. The accused Jeffrey O'Neill is in here. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, race coming up just after 5. We've got to get into the Leafs road trip. They go 4-0 on the road. They're back at home tonight against the Kings. Mike Matheson and the Elias Pettersson story. Pettersson's out 7 to 10 days with a concussion.
I'll say one thing about that hit. I used to crush some guys that were thin, not a lot to them, and I wasn't Eric Lindros, but sometimes you hit a guy, and it's just you're overmatched, and you go up and you go down, and it's almost like you're just trying to get the guy off you when they go down on the ice. Like, if they're going to suspend this guy for this, just take hitting out of the game. Just do it.
See, I had the same reaction as you. I saw it, and I'm like,
no kidding.
That doesn't
and you're
seem
a,
that...
you're, there's not a whole lot to you. It's not like you're saying, oh,
no, like,
God.
But if someone like that, that's, I don't know, that happened.
Yeah, if I went
in
that
bad.
Corner right there, and there was something over there, and we had to battle for it, you're going down.
Yeah.
And sorry... If you're going to suspend this guy for this, just take hitting out of the game, and then I don't have to deal with it. And I'm not some old school guy from 1970 that just thinks, oh, these guys are wussies, or they're this, or they're that. He got outmatched. He got destroyed, and he got thrown to the ground. Sorry, bud. It's not his fault that you're 140 pounds playing in the NHL. This is becoming a joke. A joke.
Well, I think if he gets suspended, they're suspending the injury, which I think is a slippery slope. Because there are a lot of different things that happen during the course of a game, a physical game and a fast-moving game, where injuries end up happening or could happen. You know, because if Patterson just got up and skated away, you wouldn't even pay attention to it. It wasn't like was an egregious elbow or a cross-check to the face.
Nothing. He got outmatched. He got up in the air and he fell to the ground. And once you're in the air, you're almost like, as the guy that's delivering the hit, you're like, okay, get off me. And it's like, get away from me, and you're thrown to the ice.
Well, and those instincts kick in, like you just said. If you know you're so much bigger and stronger than a guy, you're like, I can't believe this guy's that small. I'm going to throw him. Like, that's what it is. Like, that happens.
And everyone's like, oh, he got embarrassed about the dangle earlier on in the shift. Get serious. It's not like he scored.
And it wasn't like it was Mario Lemieux on Ray Bourque. Remember that when he dangled Bourque and Bourque like fell on the ice? It wasn't even much of a dangle. Like, it was a nice play.
No, it was a little evasive move on the half wall.
He's a really good player. I understand why people in Vancouver are furious right now. Of course they are, because of the outcome. They've been off to a much better start than I thought. This Patterson kid is a player to watch in the league. He's one of the top four or five stories in the league. And that's saying something. There's been a lot of great stories.
It's disappointing.
It's terrible that
he's injured.
But
at the end of the day, enough's enough. Like, stop it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's just more of a slippery slope. Like, because if it was a fourth-line player, we wouldn't be talking about it. If he got up and just moved on, maybe you give him a two-minute roughing call. I could have seen that. Maybe he was a little bit overly aggressive. Like, he was a hit, and then he pushed him or threw him or whatever. But I'm not sure where they're going to take this. And I find that a lot of times the league reacts to how loud people are. And in Vancouver, they're yelling and screaming. But they're also yelling and screaming about their own team not reacting to it whatsoever.
Huh.
And this is also the conundrum that I think a lot of people find themselves in as the game progresses and evolves. This idea that, you know, that doesn't happen anymore, quote unquote. Well, if these hits can't happen anymore and you're supposed to allow the league to send out the retribution, then fighting afterwards isn't supposed to happen anymore either. So which way do you want it? You know, if you're in Vancouver, do you want the new school way of thinking, which means Matheson gets suspended, but there's no fights, there's no retribution, you move on? Or do you want the old school way of thinking where you hit our guy, we're going to fight you, and we're going to go at it? But if that's the case, the players took it into their own hands. Don't rely on the league. And I get the impression like there's a lot of hypocrisy and back and forth out of Vancouver right now on that topic. Because they want it both ways. They want a suspension, and they want Matheson to get his face beaten in by somebody.
Yeah, they want Gabranson to beat the hell out of this
guy. So which one is it? Which one do you want? New school or old school? You can't have it both ways.
But the one thing I never understood with that is having a fighter on your team or fighting a guy after, it doesn't prevent the hits. Like, I remember that was the big talk about Matt Martin. Like, even Babcock would say it all the time. Like, he keeps the flies off. We still saw those guys get hit. And then he'd come in after, but like it didn't prevent the initial action. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
so what's the hit's already
what's
been done?
What's that going to do?
Well, it's no different than what Florida's going to do to Max Domi down the road. You know, Domi's already thrown that punch.
Yeah,
but
that's different. That's a little different.
That was different. This was in.
Nah, it's the same thing.
The play. Well, this is a hit compared to a sucker punch. I mean, there is a difference clearly, but. We'll see what Ray says about it just after 5. Ray lives in Vancouver, so he can really paint the picture of I would be going crazy, too, if I was a Canucks fan. Not even about who it is, what it was. It's that Elias Pettersson is injured now. And Pettersson has been a stud for them. He's been really, really good.
But you know what? We talk about the Leafs. We love the Leafs, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Nazem Kadri's hit in Boston was ridiculous. It was stupid. And he deserved what he got. It's like you can't just say, oh, I'm from this town or I like this team. You have to look at it just as a normal person. And that hit in Boston was stupid. And he deserved the suspension.
Yeah, but to Hayes' point, it's like they always look at what the injury is and then make the call. Shouldn't it just be the hit is the hit? And if it's bad, it's bad?
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying, Jones. Yeah. It's like just look at the play and say, like, just if you know hockey and you walked into a sports bar and this was on TV, forget about the jerseys. What is this? It's just a hit that the guy got outmatched. He got thrown to the ground. Sorry, bud.
Well, and that's another thing about this new game, quote-unquote. For almost 100 years, there were players that were incredibly skilled, where teams were like, I can't put him on the ice because he's got to put on weight and more muscle. I can't put that kid out because someone's going to grab him and punish him because there's going to be someone who's 6'2", 220, and a man that's going to grab. And Pettersson is built like a 14-year-old kid. Like, that's what he is right now.
Yeah, and Scott Stevens wouldn't be able to play. He did this three times a game. He would hit a guy and just be like, okay, get out of here. Imagine Eric Lindros, the way he used to hit people. Just against the boards, get out of my way, on the ground. It three or four times a game. So, And I know you can't date back and say, oh, this guy was bigger, tougher. It's a different game. There's not a lot of hitting. But if you're going to do this, just go ahead and take hitting out of the game. Take it out of the game.
Well, that's not going
to
happen.
Go to more. No, go towards more of a woman's style of hockey, where it's like you can you know, check somebody against the boards, but not really hit, because that's what it's going towards. And I don't really care. I don't mind that.
I don't. I care. I don't want that. Who the hell wants that? You don't really want that. You're just saying that. Nobody wants hitting out of the game.
Well, no, but if that's what you're going to do, that's basically what we're leaning towards. Like, I'll still watch the game, but there's no violence anymore. There's no hard hitting. It's like, why?
Yeah. Well, that's the truth. I mean, there's always got to be people complaining about everything. Like, that, the game is so much, it's more about skill than it ever has been. And that's good thing. I'm all for that. But there's still going to be some aggression. There's still, I think intimidation should still factor into the sport to an extent.
No kidding, Brian. But as soon as there is, everyone's like, oh, my God.
But that's why I just don't get carried away with it.
That's the Broad Street Bullies. That's 1970s. We got to get this out.
Yeah, that's not. If you think Mike Matheson, that is Broad Street Bullies, then you're just so easily triggered. It's ridiculous. And quite frankly, I don't care about how you feel about the game because you probably always hated the game. I'm surprised you're even invested in the game. Like if you watch this game today and you think, oh my God, this is just awful and I'm emotionally triggered and I can't believe it. How did you start watching 30, 40 years ago? Why did you
What
do
got
that?
You into it?
How could you have watched? You would have been in a fetal position for 30 years of your life because it's not like that anymore. So Ray's coming up just after 5. Marcellus Wiley at 5:30. We're going to get into some baseball stories as well. One game going tonight, back in L.A., Dodgers-Brewers tied at 1. Heading back to Houston on the American League side of things, tied at 1. David Price survived last night. We'll talk about that. Clayton Kershaw got rocked.
And don't forget, one question per person for the jury.
Yes. Well, it's not a jury. It's a Supreme Court. It's a big difference.
What do you mean?
I'll explain it to you during the break. You good?
I don't get it. I mean, it's a jury. Like, you guys are...
It's not a jury, man. The Supreme Court is not a jury. There's not members of the court that have a secondary gig 9 to 5.
It would be fun if we were the jury and we could just all present our votes.
Okay, anyway, you've all got one question to find out guilt or innocence, whether it's a one-day suspension or a pregame with the Tap Man.
All right. We'll get more to that later in the hour. Into some baseball news in 2 minutes. All right. Ray Ferraro in about a half an hour. Leafs-Kings tonight. The Raptors gearing up for the home opener Wednesday night with the Cavs in town. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. Danny Green with a comment that was very nice earlier today about the Raptors, but I kind of find it hard to believe that there's truth behind the statement. Trying to endear himself to his new team and his new city. And people are going to eat it up, but he may have taken it a little bit too far.
Considering
the organization he just came from and, you know, won titles and went to multiple finals. And he said that this may be the deepest team he's ever played on. And he played with Duncan and Ginobili and Kawhi and Parker. Anyway, we'll get to that later in the afternoon. One game in the Major League Baseball playoffs tonight. It's Dodgers back home in L.A. taking on the Brewers, and Boston getting a split out of Fenway. And to chat about it, we're joined now by longtime MLB pitcher and host down in Dallas. Here is Mike Bassick. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How's it going, fellas?
We're doing well, man. We're seeing lots of runs in the championship series. I love it. As a former pitcher, how do you feel about it?
No, I've really enjoyed the championship series just because we're tied at 1. It looks like they're going to go 6 or 7 games. Very evenly matched teams on both sides. I have been calling here in Dallas, I've been calling the American League this year the varsity and the National League the junior varsity, just because I thought the 4 best teams were in the American League, and now the 2 best teams left are in the American League. But it's been really fun to watch these teams go back and forth. And then also, just the evolution of the game of baseball. And I really don't know if it's going to go in the way that maybe general managers want it to go to, which is we don't have to pay starting pitchers anymore because we're only going to use starting pitchers for 3 to 5 innings per start, especially in the big time games. And so it's just kind of interesting to see kind of where we're at in this kind of evolution of baseball. Is this what it's going to be like, or are we going to go back to more of you need the guy to go 6 or 8 innings?
It's something I've wondered my whole life watching baseball in the playoffs. It seems like pitching, I don't know if it's the stress of the situation or why it happens, but they just seem to, I don't know, they can't get it done in the playoffs. They don't last. So what happens here?
It's a great question. Obviously, Kershaw is the one, you know, that comes to mind, you know, or David Price, is that they can be so awesome in the regular season and then come playoff time at times look very ordinary or even worse than ordinary. And
yeah, like on a regular day in July, it's like, okay, I'll go 9 innings. This is no problem. Yeah. But it gets to October, it's just, I don't know, they can't do it.
I'm with you. There's multiple things. I was never good enough to be one of those guys that was even good in July, unfortunately. And then to get to pitch in the playoffs. And I just wonder at times how fatigued guys are. You know, it's interesting. This is another thing that, the pitch count that's happened in Major League Baseball over the last 20-plus years. Oh, we got to save these guys' arms. They're going to have longer careers. We got to pitch count them. And guys are stronger, but they're not stronger in pitching. They're stronger in football. In basketball, guys are playing into their late 30s and 40s now, it looks like. But the whole pitch count thing and the whole, like, we got to really preserve these arms. Everybody's having Tommy John surgery, and nobody's lasting longer. There's not a lot of good pitchers in baseball that are 35 to 40 years old because they've had a pitch count the last 10 years on them pitching in Major League Baseball. But to the exact question, man, I wish I had an answer for that. I don't know why, except you are facing better lineups. You've eliminated your average lineup for the most part come playoff time, especially down to your championship series. And then maybe guys are just fatigued, so their breaking stuff isn't as good as it was in the heart of the season.
With former MLB pitcher Mike Bassick here on Overdrive. So David Price is a guy we're familiar with up here in Toronto, and he pitched really, really well when they acquired him from Detroit back in 15. But into the playoffs, the numbers started to bloat. I mean, that's his career. And you look at what's happening here. He's a hated man in Boston for a number of different reasons. But yesterday, he goes 4 2/3, gives up 5 hits, 4 earned, walks 4. I mean, this guy is a mess.
Two in the previous game.
Yeah, he's one of the highest paid players in all of baseball. His regular season pedigree and resume speaks for itself, but he's terrible in the playoffs. Like, what do you make of this? How can you explain this?
He doesn't want the ball. And then when he does get the ball, it's like, well, I have to take it. They're giving me $30 million. And then as soon as things start not going his way, whether it's a base hit, whether it's he loses his location a little bit for a batter or two, to me, you can just look at the guy's eyes and you can go, he doesn't want it right now. And that's the one thing, too, about kind of the analytics of baseball, which there's some awesome things to use in that. But the analytics will never be able to look at a guy like David Price's eyes and look inside that soul and say, does he want the ball right now? And the answer for a long time now is no, he does not want the ball in these situations. I was surprised they started him in game 2. They were super lucky because he didn't have a good start again, like you guys pointed out all the numbers. But luckily they scored 5 runs for him, because if Gerrit Cole goes out and he doesn't have an early part where he can't find it, and he goes out and he gives them 6 or 7 innings of 2 runs or less, the series is over. You're down 2-0. You're going back to Houston. They have all the momentum. Luckily the offense was able to score early for David Price, and then the bullpen for Boston was able to hold it. But I wouldn't have started him in game 2. I was super surprised, because that means he has to start again. Worst case scenario, you start him in game 4, and then you don't have to start him again if he has another bad game. But, I mean, most likely he's going to have to start game 6 for you, which to me is really scary.
Yeah, no kidding. Great stuff, Mike. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
All right, thanks for your time.
There's Mike Bassick, former MLB pitcher. I think he hit the nail on the head. Price is out there simply out of obligation, contractual obligation. I'm getting paid $30 million. I have to go out. and he's just a gas can. He looks so uncomfortable. The second someone gets
the comment,
on base,
O'Brien. I mean, to a professional athlete that, like, he just doesn't want to go out there.
I think he's afraid to fail. I think he knows he's going to fail. I think that's a part of it.
So
I think he'd be more comfortable.
He's sitting in the locker room in the clubhouse, and he just, I guess I got to go out. I don't know.
I don't buy that. What
other explanation is there? How does a guy?
I don't know.
A legit,
but just say
Cy
a guy
Young
is sitting
count.
In the clubhouse saying, "Oh God, he's coming over and telling me I got to go out there and pitch."
Well, but that's not the way it goes. It's not like
that's
he doesn't
basically
know if he's
what
pitching.
The guy just said. He's like, he doesn't want the ball.
Yeah.
Doesn't any athlete or any kind of competitor want the ball?
Dude, you know there
you
are guys.
You could be scared to death, but to say you don't want the ball?
Oh, I believe in that. For sure I believe in that.
Well, so what do you think of, I'm just looking up Kershaw's postseason numbers. Not that good either.
Something's
does
up
he
with
not
him,
want the
too.
Ball?
I don't know if
he's the same.
It doesn't have to be the same explanation for every
time
guy.
I watch that guy on TV, I'm like, I have so much expectation for this guy. They talk about him as being the best in the game.
He is.
Are you going to dominate a game? Like, I want to see you dominate. And I go out there, or I watch it, and it's like...
No, the fact is,
you're just
Kershaw's
like any
legacy
other dude.
Is taking a massive hit based
massive.
On his playoffs. What he does, he's the Peyton Manning of baseball. Now, Peyton got a ring. He got
good
two
comparison,
rings.
Comparison, actually.
But during the regular season, there's no one in his stratosphere. Nobody. When it gets to the playoffs, Peyton's numbers would trail, and they lost a lot of games. The same thing happens with Kershaw. If Manning was as borderline perfect in the playoffs as he was throughout his regular season, I think it would be indisputable who the greatest quarterback of all time is. Mm-hmm. It would not even be up for debate. Brady would probably go on Instagram and be like, it's all Peyton all day. I'm fighting for two. He didn't do that. And the same thing with Kershaw. You look at Verlander. Like, Verlander is an absolute moose on the mound in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Verlander, when all is said and done, when you look at it, Kershaw is probably number one of his generation in the regular season. Verlander's real close. Mm-hmm. And based on what he does in the playoffs, Verlander's going to make a case for being right there at the end of the day as the best pitcher of his generation because of what he did when he showed up in the biggest
moments.
Oh,
for what he did last year in Houston?
Look what he's doing now. Look what he did in game one. Rolls into Fenway. You know, like, the guy, you know exactly what you're getting out of Verlander. Look at his numbers this year. Statistically, it might be the best year of his career.
Yeah, it is.
No one even talked about it.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Not like but Kershaw. Wait. He can come up with the excuse saying, oh, I haven't been in the playoffs that much.
They've been in 6 years in a row.
Yeah. But did what you, do you do?
Did you ever play with guys like you could sense in big games that they were like tight or like maybe they couldn't kind of play in that moment? Like you must have played with guys like that.
I go with the Johnny Miller, Jonas.
What's that?
Choking. Like you can you do it or not?
So maybe that's what...
There was guys at just big games. It's like, I wouldn't go as far as our last guest that would say he doesn't want to go out there and play, but they choke. It's choking.
Well, it's not that you don't want to succeed. Ideally, you'd like to go out there and succeed, but the reason why you might not want to go out is because you know you're going to go out and choke. You know, if you know you're going to lose, it's a lot easier to be like, you know what, man, I didn't even really want to play anyway. Not that you're going to admit to that. Like, that would be a breach of contract, I would think.
I don't even know any athlete, Brian, that would say, you know what, I don't even want to play. Like, exhibition games, maybe, but playoffs when it's on the line?
You would think. I hear you.
I don't know a guy that would say, oh, I don't know.
But this
know.
Position,
I just don't
though,
go out there.
Oh, this position is, you're on your own. You know, like, it's a team sport, but you're on your own. You know what I mean? Like, even if you know you're going to have a bat, if you're on a hockey team, even if you're on a baseball team, let's say you play left field and you hit seventh in the order, you can be like, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to bring it tonight, but no one's even going to know. If I can maybe get a walk and catch the ball that gets hit to me, people are going to be like, nah, I don't know, he's okay. You wouldn't even know. Same thing, tonight, if Josh Levo is like, I feel horrible, I'm going to be brutal, give me 14 minutes up and down the ice, a couple block
hide.
Shots, you can hide. You cannot hide if you're on the mound.
No.
You cannot hide.
Same as a goaltender. You can't hide.
No. Nope. Quarterback, like, there's very few positions in team sports where you're really on your own. Ray in about 20 minutes. Marcellus Wiley at 5:30. All right, Leafs-Kings tonight. We'll tee it up. Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5. Marcellus Wiley on Jay Peterman throwing another pick six yesterday to cost the Bills a game. That Sunday nighter was epic last night as well. I could definitely sign up for an AFC championship game featuring Kansas City and New England.
Awesome. Back and forth. No defense on either side.
Nobody plays defense. And if you do, it's like an afterthought. Like the Ravens played great defense yesterday. Who cares? What happened with Brady and Mahomes? And you got Rodgers playing tonight. It's a must win with the Niners in town. So we'll tee that up as well.
Also, got to give a shout out to everyone at Downey's Farm in Caledon.
Okay.
Took the fam jam there. Beautiful place to take the family.
Great farm, huh? Jonas is in here, the O-Dog. I'm Brian Hayes. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.